is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Friday! It's Bran, and I love classic Hallmark Christmas movies.
Friday!
It's Panda, and I like Hallmark classic Christmas movies.
Friday! It's Dan. I got my Friday shorts on, and I despise Hallmark classic Christmas movies, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast! The best part, the best part about that is you were doing that dance before we got started, and then you tried to act like you were just stretching. Like you were dancing like this for some reason, and then you were just like, yeah.
Well, Good to go. Well, it's my morning wake-up routine, Dan.
You know what? That's how I wake up with Dogecoin, just like this. Doge.
I think we all do, Dan.
We're taking next week off, but if we come back the following week and we have like a big desk, you know why.
Dogecoin.
It's the desk fund.
You know, with the money Dogecoin we're making fund. From Dogecoin, I feel confident that we could buy a chain link fence anywhere we wanted.
Anywhere. You're right.
Anywhere.
Could we get it the nice painted ones?
Oh, with the, like, oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
You want to splurge a little bit?
A little splurge.
From our
Doge. Guys, don't be silly. We can do it. Let's do it.
Hey!
Hi, guys. Happy Friday. How are you boys doing?
Feeling fresh.
I feel like we are heading into vacation.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Vacation, all I ever wanted.
Okay.
Vacation. Had to get away. The first week with no new Deck the Hallmark episodes. Since 2019.
Since 2019, that's right, because we came back from Christmas 2018.
That's right.
And we started to do them randomly. Right. I think it was 2 months until what?
I don't know, but I think Christmas in July kicked it up to three, and we stayed with three after that until season three. I don't remember.
No, in July we switched to every week. I think it's been since July of 2019. I think it was a safe bet.
But there were some times where we would take the week off. Take the day. But we would give you
stuff
like or old interviews. Next week, it's just going to be crickets.
It's radio silent.
That's
silent.
Right.
So, I might put a few things out.
What are you
going
to do?
Maybe
Thoughts with Panda.
Thoughts with Panda.
Daily Thoughts with Panda.
Yeah. It's going to take the storm by rage.
I got a sample.
I like pancakes. It's wild to me because you can just make them in a pan if you really want to. But I don't think they taste a lot like cakes.
What do they taste like?
More like muffins, really.
What do they taste like?
More like muffins.
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 Tell me, what do they taste like?
More like muffins!
And I think that's going to take off.
It's going to be something.
That's going to take the show to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
We're here right now.
It's like Dogecoin.
Yes.
All rise.
All rise.
Who are you saluting to?
Just anybody? Everybody? Anybody?
I think we should bring it back, the salute.
Oh, man.
Did the salute go out of style?
Yeah, for a while.
Oh, you hate to see that.
Bring back the salute.
When was the last time salutes were inbounds?
Inbounds?
Inbounds, like in style. That's something I'm trying out.
I don't know when the salute... I
start feeling weird doing it in 2017.
I will occasionally give, when we interview somebody, like I'll give them one of these when we leave. Like, hey, good to see you. Yeah. It's kind of a half salute.
Yeah,
half
the half salute, though, I find it offensive.
You find the half salute offensive.
Yes, because it's like, oh, either salute me or don't. Like, don't assault me with a half salute.
Whoa.
Assault my integrity.
Got out of hand.
like Dogecoin. Boys, we're talking about Just in Time for Christmas, which was a Hall of Fame movie in 2015.
Lloyd, time travel. I mean, come on.
Are you boys ready?
Bring it.
Let's talk about it.
Great Scott!
We're talking about Just in Time for Christmas, which originally aired on December 5th, 2015, and it went a little something like this. What? Lindsay is a psychology professor who really knows her stuff, and she's crushing life. She has a boyfriend named Jason who's also crushing life, you know, in regards to coffee shops.
Style.
So it's not exactly the same, but... It's still great. And they are just so in love. She's on her way to meet up for some fancy food at a fancy restaurant at a fancy date. And she gets a phone call. And it's basically a job offer from Yale and an offer to publish her work. So pretty good night for her. She gets to dinner and he proposes to her. And she's like, oh, no, I just got an offer from Yale. That's a pretty good proposal, too. So I don't know what to do. And so she goes, she leaves, doesn't say yes, doesn't say no. And she's like, I just got to do some thinking. And he's like, well, listen, you either want to be with me or you don't. Figure it out, basically. And so she goes to do some thinking in the park where everyone goes to think. And this dude comes through the fog on a horse and carriage and offers her a ride. It's William Shatner, and you can't say no to William Shatner.
People have tried.
Oh, yes, they have. She tells him about her job and then about the love and the proposal. And then they see the Northern Lights. She gets out of the carriage. She looks up and she's like, oh, my gosh. She looks back. The Shatner's gone. She goes to find her car. Can't find it. She goes into the city and she sees that she has a published book called Inspired. What's going on? She goes to see that Jason has now opened a new coffee shop. What's happening? She goes to find her mom's house. She's nowhere to be found. Her neighbor comes out and she's like, you got some nerve coming around here after you didn't care for your mom after her heart attack. So, boy. But she's still alive, everybody. Don't worry. Luckily, Grandpa lives across the street. And he has a past with time travel. Am I right, boys? It's Christopher Lloyd. And he's like, well, what's going on? What's the deal? And so she's like, I think I time traveled. I don't know. Grandpa tells her that Jason is engaged to be married. I'm going to take you. Go get your brain checked. They go to get her brain checked. And they're like, it could be just amnesia. I don't know. She meets up with Jason. And she tells him what's going on. I don't remember anything. I don't even remember how, like, what happened. How did we break things off entirely? I don't really know. They spend the day together. Did we get a Dogecoin update?
Almost 56.
Oh, boy. She meets up with Jason.
Age well on Friday.
And so he's like, I'm getting married. It's this whole thing. But then they go and they end up spending the day together in a limo. And so, you know, things are getting serious. She goes to like a book signing and he's just watching her. He's like, wow, she's amazing. And they get back in the limo and he's like, why didn't you just ask me that night to go with you to Yale? And she's like, I wish I could do it all over again. They then hug and... They then hug.
I thought there was another update.
I put my phone down.
What's going on? Then hug, and his fiance walks in and is like, what's going on over here? She goes, and she tries to live her life, but she just can't. She just can't do it. She's so sad, and she goes back home. We get an unnecessary montage of every scene with her and Jason that has happened in the movie so far. So just like, hey, just in case you fell asleep at some point, here they are. Luckily, William Shatner comes back through the fog again, same shot, and she gets back in the carriage, and boom, she's back in her dress. She's back in the past. She runs to find her mom and tells her, hey, you got to get that heart checked out, Mom.
Immediately. As a good daughter would do.
That's exactly right. She runs to tell Jason that she wants to get married and spend her life together. We get their wedding, and they're celebrating, and they go off in a limo. She looks over. She sees the Shat. Shat does a little hey, a salute. And that, my friends, was just in time for Christmas. I don't know if he did a salute or not, but.
She sheesh the Shat is what you just said. She sheesh the Shat.
She sheesh the Shat. What do you see?
Imagine if the $28 you have in UFC could have been turned into $2,000 in Dogecoin. How are you going to feel at that point?
You know, I'm still happy, and here's why. Because MMA, all rise.
All rise.
All rise. Dana White, I will always support that man.
That is a bold statement.
Hey, guys, Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather, who you got?
I hope it's Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't it be so good to see that guy get
knocked
out?
Just get leveled, yeah.
Wait, yeah, I don't know who. I know Logan Paul just from the internets. So yeah,
that's all he's known for.
Let's go with Floyd Mayweather.
It's a clean sweep. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark Boxing Talk.
Ooh.
This has been a good week for our demo. We've had lots of Dogecoin talk, lots of boxing,
martial
UFC.
Arts. Yeah. It's been great. People love us.
We get our fans.
Yeah, we understand.
We get them. We get them.
That's right.
Boys, are you ready to break this movie down? 2015
yes.
Hall of Fame movie, Shatner, Lloyd. It's amazing. Let's...
She's the Shatner. my friend is...
Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hall. Deck the Hallmark.
Still time for Christmas.
Yeah, whatever. We got four segments to break this movie down. We're going to start with the hot take. I'm going to start with the hottest taker and the hottest boy in the room.
You are definitely the hottest taker and the hottest boy. I'm worried about your takes a little after yesterday's Wind Calls the Heart take, though. Was it yesterday's Wind Calls the Heart?
No, it's Monday.
Take.
Yeah, it's the mystery
Tuesday's take. Tuesday's take was a rough one. That was as low, I think, a point for you as far as the hot takes go.
I feel like it might have been my best.
But no. I think when you have a bad one, even you would admit in your deepest, darkest time, you would admit it, it's your lowest. You rebound so hot. So I'm ready for it.
Big rebound.
Here it comes. Were you this bald yesterday?
I shave my head every day.
Every day now?
Mm-hmm.
No. Wow. Way. No, you don't.
You don't shave your head
every
day? Is this new?
You look balder than you did yesterday.
I shaved my head this morning.
This
okay.
Okay.
But you That's don't true. Do that every day. Because you used to get a haircut at the Great Clips like once every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because they had the special.
They had the special. I bought the special.
You bought the special.
I'm doing it at home.
It makes sense.
It saves you
a lot of money.
Because what's shocking is it doesn't take a lot of skill to actually do what I'm doing.
Get out of town.
But nevertheless, I bought
Clips
a special.
Is what, $6? And then the beard trim's another buck and a quarter and like
the
a
beard has come back in nicely.
The beard looks good.
You look great. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I just really I noticed.
Yeah, I am bolder
today. Bolder today,
okay.
Than,
today than I was yesterday.
Okay. Well, and maybe it's because, you know, we don't record until the afternoon.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
yeah,
I saw. Yeah, I,
yeah,
maybe you grew back. Let's talk about this movie. Hot take. How you feel?
Guys, it's Shatner. It's Lloyd. What more do you want? It's fun. I wish there was more William Shatner.
I wish there was more Christopher Lloyd and William Shatner.
Yeah, I think that's the only downside is there's not enough. I don't like the lead male actor.
You don't like the lead male actor?
Well, I mean, he's probably fine as a human. I don't like his character in the movie.
He offends you personally.
He just irritates me. I don't know why he irritated me in this movie that much. It just seems like he was whiny a lot. But the movie, man, where's Christmas? Time travel?
We're looking for Michael Stahl David.
I was going to say Michael Lloyd Webber.
Michael Stahl David.
Okay.
Huh.
Eloise Mumford. Those
Has Michael Stahl been in any more Hallmarks? Can you look that up while I
yeah,
talk?
Yeah, sure.
I want to be clear. I just don't like his character.
Michael Stahl David, Panda doesn't like you.
that's not true.
Though,
you seem like a genuinely
Michael
great
Stahl
guy.
Michael Stahl David, you're in one of his favorite movies, Cloverfield.
He is great in Cloverfield.
What is he in Cloverfield?
He's one of the guys that runs around a lot.
He's in... No, I think this is his only
movie. Wow, this was
I'm pretty
it.
Sure he gets killed in Cloverfield.
Mm. Oh,
yeah, I don't see... He's in an episode of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. We've got that clip.
Don't trust me.
what were you doing? Who are you?
I'm a bee.
An actual bee.
Yeah, an actual
but
bee.
But you were saying don't trust the bee.
Yeah.
You were saying don't trust, or there was another bee in apartment 23.
There's a real bee.
What bee are you?
I'm the bumblebee in building room 23.
Okay.
And I'm telling somebody walked in.
You're referring to yourself
yes,
as the
don't
bee.
Trust me.
And that's
you're
true.
Saying, it's like you being like, don't trust the panda. You were talking in third person.
Yes. Right, don't trust the bee.
Don't trust the bee. Exactly. And when I say you, I mean the bee, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, obviously, Shatner and Christopher Lloyd are wonderful in this movie. I did feel like the rest of the movie just was kind of... it never found its footing for me. I agree. I didn't like the guy. I also didn't know who I was supposed to be rooting for in the movie. I found both of the two leads relatively unlikable in this movie. And I didn't like the resolution either. But getting Christopher Lloyd in a time travel movie years after Back to the Future and hearing him make a joke about time travel,
I mean,
that's worth every penny.
Yeah, yeah.
But overall, I did find the movie a bit underwhelming, especially for a Hall of Fame movie, which I usually thoroughly enjoy. And so I would just say underwhelmed. I was also underwhelmed by the Christmas. I actually at one point forgot it was a Christmas movie.
Yeah, they bring it back around the end, but they let you forget that.
So underwhelmed as a Hall of Fame movie, underwhelmed as a time travel movie, but overjoyed to have Christopher Lloyd in another time travel movie. If that makes sense, that's where I'm at with this one.
Yeah, I would say on one side of the coin, you get Christopher Lloyd and William Shatner. Christopher Lloyd, he's in a movie called Nobody with Bob Odenkirk. And I mean, Christopher Lloyd has to be mid-80s, and he just straight steals the show. He's super dynamic and fun. On the other side, you have a movie where they make a female protagonist apologize for getting excited about career advancement. And
At Yale.
I don't know how you reconcile that in 2015, in 2005, in 1995. I don't know how you do it. Like, she basically has to go through this whole thing to realize that she shouldn't have been as excited about the chance of a lifetime to get a book published and to have an associate professorship at Yale. The whole movie, I felt like the guy was the bad guy, and I know that wasn't what they were going for. There's not a lot of Christmas in the middle of this movie. There's a lot of wait what's, including the fact that her teaching skills are to be desired. Christopher Lloyd is great. Shatner should have been. They don't get a scene together, those two. I felt like that was a missed opportunity.
No kidding.
And so, you know, it's not great. It's not a very good movie. I don't know what you want from me.
I'm surprised, aside from the names, I'm surprised it was a Hall of Fame movie.
Yeah. Well, that's
like, I feel like the Hall of Fame movies aren't just about the names, but it's also elevated in every other aspect, in story and drama. And
we got Shat, we got Lloyd. Let's go do this thing. I think that's what it was about.
Yeah. Yeah.
I designed William Shatner's wardrobe for this film.
That I can believe 100%.
I wore the exact same outfit to Sugar Ray Fest in 1996.
Sugar Ray had a fest in 96?
They played Floyd, their album Floyd. Sure. It's a lot of rap metal.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not for... No, you're not good. It's not for everybody, but it is good. I'll say that.
This was before... 1459 even came out.
That's right. You heard me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had how many people were there?
Dozens.
But this was after Fly took off as a radio hit?
No.
No.
No, this was just the real deal.
Okay. Did they even play Fly?
Oh, geez. No.
They didn't play Fly.
No, they played a lot of other rap metal stuff.
Right, of course.
Great songs.
Bad songs.
Pigs in the Park. It's a great song.
You wore Shatner's outfit.
I wore the whole outfit.
Did you have the...
I called it Hawaiian Uncle Sam.
Did you? Saw them live too, actually.
They opened there.
Yeah, they opened there too. You had the goatee and everything?
I had the full tape on goatee, yep. Pork pie kind of hat going on. Blue vest.
Tape on?
Yeah, I taped it on. I didn't. Yes.
Got it.
What do you think's going on?
I don't know. I didn't know.
Even know Sugar Ray's discography.
I named an album that comes after Floyd. That's more than most people can do.
Yeah, you just are a bandwagon. That's all you are. Yeah. You're the wagon. You're the whole wagon. Wagon.
Rick, I'm willing to even give you that Sugar Ray has good songs, which is also more than most people do.
How dare you?
I don't know what you want from me.
The best band of all time.
All the feels?
Sure.
As part of the show, we talk about those feels. Panda feels? Feels?
I don't like Jason. His character. Not a lot of feels for me, guys. Like because everything. Like I don't even know. Like even when she discovers that her mom is gone. Like at the moment, you're thinking, oh, she died.
It's a real Arrested Development moment.
Yeah. And then it's like, no. She's.
I'm afraid we lost her. she's traveling with her new husband. I didn't mention that.
Like
part.
That would okay. That would have made it a Hall of Fame movie. She goes into the future, and then she's dead. Like that would have elevated stakes. The material. Like real estate. But none of that happens. And no, then like she finds out that the coffee dudes met up and connected with her best friend. Like they're going to get married. Like. I don't have any feelings. Like, I think the only thing we learned from this movie is that if you were to take any of us and put us in the future immediately without any context, none of us would probably like it that much. Like, no matter how awesome it is, we'd probably be looking around and being like, well, what happened in between now and then? But her future, let's be honest, is really amazing.
Yeah, like, there's no
sign. It's amazing.
It's not like you got the house and you got the fame and the book published and the tenured professorship, but you lost your soul. No, you still are who you are.
Yeah, it just, all I can say is, like, if you were to right now take me, fast forward me, put me 5 years in the future, everything's amazing there, I probably would be a little jarred and not real thrilled because I've lost context for what happened to me. Like,
yeah.
How did this happen?
Yeah.
And that's all this teaches us. But if that naturally progresses for it, like, what? That's amazing. You have a bestseller for a book that should not be a bestseller.
It's like, making $2 million a quarter.
Unreal.
those royalties are getting it.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching the movie overall, but man, I just no feels for it.
Those are pre-Kindle quarterly earnings is what those
no,
are.
No, get out of town.
You know what's crazy is we haven't had a Hall of Fame since the great Abbott fall of 2020.
The last Hall of Fame was Kristen Chenoweth's adoption movie.
Which was 2019. Christmas time. Abbott gets fired.
Yes.
Leaves, whatever.
Walks, whatever.
And January of 2020... Nothing. No Hall of Fame last year. So far, no Hall of Fame this year. Although Sweet Carolina feels like it should be a Hall of Fame. It's a dramatic movie. Not in a season. It
Two
feels
big names.
I don't know what they're waiting. Like, I don't know what they're waiting on with
you Hall. You think of they're fame. Done with the Hall of Fame stamp?
That's a question that I'm just that's a question that I'm just proposing. Just
tossing it out there.
And I think it would be a travesty because of what Hall of Fame has done not only for Hallmark, but for TV movies overall in the history
and what it's done
of television.
For you.
And what it's done for me personally. All right. My feels is obviously Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah,
winking, talking about time travel. Like, could it be time travel? That's great. And that's my feels, Dan.
But like, I have two feels. One is Christopher Lloyd's entire performance.
Yeah.
Like, not just the time travel stuff. Every scene he's in as
when
a grandpa,
she walks in and he's like, "Don't look," and he's acting like he's trying to hide the gift.
I mean, the fact that he didn't have, like, he was so good in this movie.
He was great.
Like, I just, like, for me, it was like, man, if we could get this caliber of performance in these movies on a regular basis, how much it would change. He's so good, trying to fake wrap the gift, hugging his granddaughter, like, all of it is so good. And then just really angry feels about this initial proposal. Like, this guy pulls out all the stops to propose. But he doesn't know that literally right before then, at 7:45 or 8 at night or whatever, she's found out that her book's getting published and that she has a job offer at Yale. And even after he finds that out, he doesn't give any leeway for that incredibly important life event. He just gets mad and he walks away. And I don't, like, I know that that sets up the time travel bit, but it bothered me to no end. Like, if you love someone and, you know, I get it. He did the whole thing with Geno's. He shut down the restaurant. He did the video. He proposed. And then she walks out and you go out there and you care for them. And she goes, "I'm really sorry. 15 minutes before this, I just got offered Yale teaching and I just got a book deal." His reaction should immediately be excited for her.
This is how I read it. After watching the full movie, I read it as initially he there was a moment of excitement and then he was waiting on her to give him anything about them. Like, "Hey, would you come with me?" Like,
but
that was his whole thing. Yeah. Why didn't you ask me to come?
But hear me out. I know this is going to sound crazy, but I know it's a proposal. It's just not about him right now.
Absolutely.
It's just not about him.
Of course.
That doesn't mean she loves him any less. That doesn't mean they're any less partners or they're any less in love, but it's just not about him.
I'm not saying he handled it correctly.
He should 100% be just over the moon excited for her. And he's not. He just cares about his thing. And you know what? Marriage is more important than, you know, success. I think most of us would agree with that. Having a great marriage is more important than having great success. Some people might not. That's where, you're on the fence. Yeah, I get it. But in that moment, we're not talking about the rest of their lives together. We're talking about a proposal. But in that moment, her world has been rocked. And for him to not show just an over-the-top excitement and affection is just not okay. Like, he should be super excited for her. And the movie never recovered for me.
Let me just say this to you. Like, let me use this analogy.
Yeah.
You invest a sum of money into Dogecoin.
Like maybe like in a dog meme cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Okay.
And it takes off.
Yeah.
And you're really excited about that.
Yeah.
And you go to tell somebody, you go to tell me about that you just made bukus of money with your investment. And I say, thank you for telling me that. I'm really excited. This is great. But I got something going on right now. You'd be a little bit bummed that I wasn't
ready. Just won the lottery.
Yes.
Well, I think that's correct. What does that have to do with this?
So here's how it has to do with this. He just spent a bunch of money on car insurance, but he just spent a bunch of money renting out Geno's, doing all this stuff, and he's thinking my life's about to change.
Okay.
And then someone comes and it's about to change with that person.
Agree that your relationship with your wife or your fiance or your girlfriend is bigger than one moment of a proposal. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I think so. I think you have to give him a little bit of grace because there's a whiplash here. Like there's a whiplash for her first. Oh, absolutely. There's a whiplash for everybody involved. Yeah. And I think both parties just need to take a beat.
But they should take a beat. The fact that he's not excited and just says, let's talk about proposal second. Like immediately the proposal should be secondary. He can get back to it later, but immediately he's got to be like, this is amazing. I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you. This is awesome. Great. And then once we've calmed down from that excitement, we can talk about the logistics of what that means for us.
Yeah. He did not handle it well in the moment.
No.
Well, I don't know how many people would.
He never recovered. The character never recovered. The film never recovered. Because
just think of how bummed you would be if I wasn't excited about your Dogecoin.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's hard to imagine because Dogecoin is awesome. Unbelievable. Right. But in the grand scheme of things, my bigger problem is that he never comes around on it.
No.
It's not like never excited the rest about of the movie, it. He realizes he should have been excited. The rest of the movie is her realizing
she shouldn't be
excited. She shouldn't have forsaken her small town boyfriend and been excited. And she should have found a way.
I think the day, again, I'm not trying to defend this guy because I do agree with you. But I do think what they were trying to do with the day of them being in the limo, going to the book reading and him watching and being proud of her, I think that was him realizing this is awesome for her.
Yeah.
And then they get to the point to where he's like, I wish you just would have asked me.
Yeah, but that's.
But it takes him years to come to that point in the future. Like, he's even a doofus.
I wish you would have asked me. Like,
why didn't you ask me is what he said.
Why didn't you ask me? Like,
we weren't able to get to that point because you were a doofus.
Right.
And that's your point.
Exactly.
And
right.
You're 100% correct.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think if we get a chance to cool down and talk through this, then she can say, hey, like, I still love you. And he can be like, hey, I'd be willing to, do you think Yale has coffee shops? Like they can have conversation.
Hey, what do college kids think about coffee?
Maybe
what?
I can open a shop and sell Joe there.
I don't think so. College kids
don't trust the beat.
Wrong hate movie. Caffeine.
Dang it.
College kids are never go in need of caffeine. They're always just water.
Maybe a kombucha shop.
Good Lord,
that would be fun.
Hard pass.
I wish North Greenville would have had that. I think we would have gotten thrown off the campus for witchcraft.
Sure. There's like a big cauldron.
My wife the other day asked me to go get her in the fridge a hard kombucha, and I was like, can I leave? Like, are we over? Like, no, I went and got her the hard kombucha. Apparently it's good. Not for me. I've seen how it's made. Hard pass. We'll be right back here on Tech Talk.
Oh, those breaks are a laugh a minute, aren't they?
A laugh a minute.
Oh, man.
All right, boys. Let's get to the wait what's here of just in time for Christmas. Panda, where you at, pal?
Yeah. First of all, you know, she's wrapping up her psychology class. And
it's the last day
of class.
And you taught psych.
I did psychology. I taught psychology. That's right. That's correct. And she's teaching Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm. Now, guys, can I suggest to you, if you're at that point in the semester, you have not done a great job of preparing students for psychology in general or anything. For that to be.
You're saying college, that's something that's taught early on.
It's one of the most basic principles.
It would be like learning the alphabet in kindergarten.
It's one of those essentials you have to know.
Oh, guys, even in the alphabet.
Even in educational philosophy and psychology. You learn about Maslow so early on, like first year early on.
First few chapters of psychology. Like, yes. Is it, even if you broke it up into modules where you were teaching motivation and reward, like the reality is that's the first slide you probably pop up.
You can't break out Maslow last day.
No, you can't.
You know, what if she was making it full circle? What if she went back to Maslow?
Well, dang. Then she's a genius.
She came all the way back around.
No one's bringing Maslow back around these days. You bring Maslow back around. That's cutting edge.
I saw bring Maslow back around live, and they were kind of boring. They started by throwing like food and water to the crowd. And then they worked their way. Anybody? No? Just no? Okay, good. Glad it's just him.
By the end, everyone was affirming one another. They're like, I feel great.
Yeah. We did it. It's a psychology joke. And our goal to alienate everyone.
They're like,
cryptocurrency, boxing, psychology jokes.
We have it all here for you.
Yeah.
More like Freud Mayweather, am I right, boys?
I love it. And that's fantastic.
He goes in and he boxes the other guy. He's like, what do you think your mom? Yeah. What do you think about your mom?
Why is his voice all weird? He's still Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah,
what do you think about your mom?
Well, that's Freud Mayweather.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather.
This is a different wily guy. Dude.
Yeah, he's wily. Is. He's scrappy. He scraps.
He is a crafty dude. Second thing.
Back to you. crafty dude. Back. Boom goes the dynamite. Back to you.
He's a crafty dude. If you know what I mean.
Back, yeah. Back to you, crafty dude. Back to you. You Rain Man? Judge Wapner, crafty dude. Back to you.
I don't know what you want from me. The guy
is a crafty,
crafty dude. I don't know what you want. You just can't predict. How's her book a bestseller? I just want to know. Like, it's an academic book. It's an academic
called Inspired.
Called Inspired. Published through Yale Press. The
University Press. Yes.
Those books. Hear me out. Not normally bestsellers. Academic publications typically get maybe if they're great, a few thousand sales. There's some, like I was reading a report the other day. There was a book published by Chicago Press, Chicago University, sold. I think they said on average their academic publications maybe sell 30 to 50 copies because they go to libraries.
Do they inspire you?
No.
But my girl is getting, for one quarter of royalties, $2 million.
Unreal.
And, you know, that is setting us up for some real disappointment, guys. now, if you want to make that happen for us, everybody listening right now is going to need to buy 20 to 50 copies of I'll Be Home for Christmas movies.
Which I think you should, because, you know, it's a great Christmas gift.
It's a great stocking stuffer, but you can put them all in a row on your shelf and do that bit like Richard Dreyfuss does in What About Bob, where he's like, there's a groundbreaking new book, and you have so many, it would look great. It would just, it's going to be great. The cover's going to look great.
Oh, it's going to be
beautiful. And I feel like $2 million in one quarter, like we can do it if we work together.
Yeah.
And you do that, or you can give us that in Dogecoin if you'd like.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that would be great.
We should accept Dogecoin as payment for our book.
Oh, now we're talking.
Now we're talking. I love it. Girls.
Yeah. Only to us, though. Only yes, ours. It's not only on like Amazon or like at your local bookstore. No.
No.
But if you're going to buy one from us, we'll accept the Doge.
We'll send it to you. Yes.
I love it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this movie's airtight.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly didn't have a ton either. I mean, I did just find it funny, it's just such an easy transition if you know that your girlfriend, love of your life, could be fiance is going to Yale. That should immediately excite you for the future of, I don't know, your coffee business.
Yes.
Like, just fantastic business decision to leave your town and go to Yale.
You're really good at coffee and pastries.
He does claim he is.
You get to open up in a college town.
Yeah.
That's a win-win.
It's a win.
All the way around.
Plus, she's going to get $2 million a quarter in And so that's going to work out good. I think you just don't be too upset about it. And then I, you know, they used the same Shatner shot twice of him going to the fog. I don't know
had
if they,
fog tank.
They had Swim. One, like somebody was supposed to bring two tanks of fog and they only had one. And so they're like, oh, sorry, we'll just run it twice.
You think Shatner wasn't going to do it again?
I don't know.
Like, no,
I'm genuinely interested.
One take William, like, what they call him.
They had Will for less than
they had him for a day. That would be a max. That would be a max.
They had him for a night.
Yeah.
Because everything he does is that night.
He has the one daytime scene at the very end at the wedding where he looks over.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I think they filmed that the same day.
Which brings me to my last wait what, which is just a travesty. I thought for sure this movie was going to end. They get married. They go out. And then they get on the horse and carriage driven by Shatner and they ride off. But no, they just get in a limo and Shatner's sitting there on his carriage with nothing to do but wave. Like, it was just like you had this guy on a nice, beautiful horse and carriage. It means something to her. Get the guys, get in there and ride off. What are you doing? Very upset about it.
Very upset.
Like, why?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It seems like a no-brainer. Unless she can only see Shatner. And then it's like, okay, we're following the rules.
Yeah.
That was a little What the Hallmark preview, a little tease. But I think she can only see him. That'd be my guess. Not a tease. That's the whole What the Hallmark. as far as my wait what's go, when she goes into the future 3 years, she goes over to her mom's house. And she gets the thing where she thinks she's dead. But she's not. She's just away. I want to point out that for some reason, her mom went on vacation and they made the house look like the house on Haunted Hill. It looks fully abandoned, like it's from a horror movie that no one has lived there. It looks like the house in It. Like, why?
It is terrifying.
She just, like, it looks like, I'm like, oh my gosh, she died and they didn't resell the house in this great neighborhood for some reason. No. She's on vacation and she hired a group to make it look scary so no one would go in it. Like, I don't know what's happening there. There are tumbleweeds blowing by. I just, for the life of me, that doesn't make any sense at all. She has a limo in the future that takes her everywhere. Everywhere. Like, dude is driving her to the book signing and everything. And then it's time for her to go to the airport and she has to have a taxi. She's a bona fide millionaire. A limo driver drives her around everywhere. But then it comes time to go to the airport. She calls a taxi. I don't understand.
She just wanted to feel like normal again.
She wanted to feel like normal.
Sometimes you got to connect with the people on the block, right?
Sometimes you got to connect with them. She talks to her mom in the future via FaceTime, and her mom's new husband is there. And her mom's, this is the exchange. Her mom's new husband goes, "Bonjour, Lindsay." And then she goes, "Oh, God bless you too." What's that? What? He said hello in French.
It's the one thing everyone knows.
She said, "God bless you." Did he sneeze? Is it what?
It was filmed later, right?
Must have been. Like, she's clearly not looking at it, and it just doesn't line up.
No, this girl who wrote an academic bestseller doesn't know bonjour.
Yeah, she doesn't know bonjour. It's tough. Two more. One is they do a montage at the end of this movie, and I'm going to go ahead and nominate it for most pointless montage of all time. They show when she's thinking about her life with the dude instead of her wonderful millionaire life in Yale. They show you not clips of them as kids that they filmed just for the montage. They show you only every scene that they've been in together in the movie.
Every scene.
And they're not in many scenes together. But they just show you all the film, all the reel they've already shot, again, to remind you, I guess, that these two kids are in love. And
This is a Hallmark's worst nightmare is having to fill a Hall of Fame movie an hour and 35 and they can't.
And they got a montage and
guess
it's just
montage.
Why don't we just use all these scenes again?
Hall of Fame.
They mean more now. They're, you could see them in a different light. It's like The Sixth Sense when you show all the times Bruce Willis, you could have figured it out. You didn't. But here you just see it. There's nothing to figure out. It's just, it goes a minute. And that gives us a minute. What do you think? I love it.
I love it.
And then lastly,
Can we give Christopher Lloyd another minute?
No.
Give me the montage.
Maybe he can make an impassioned speech that's got a lot of gravitas. No, that sounds terrible. This happened in Christmas Carousel, and I hate to do this bit again, but in Christmas Carousel, she leaves. She jumps 5 years. Goes 5 years back, I believe, and then comes back home And her parents seemed genuinely surprised to see her, even though she literally had just left their house. It happens again in this movie. I just want to timeline this for you. Eloise Mumford's character is at her mom's and her grandfather's house. She gives them a hug. She leaves to go to Gino's. Okay? She gets proposed to. It doesn't go well. She doesn't stay to eat. 20 minutes. She leaves and Shatner picks her up in the park. That's what happens. She literally, when she time travels, has seen her mom and her grandfather maybe a half an hour ago, maybe an hour and a half ago, 2 hours max if you've given her time to think. Literally, she saw him 2 hours ago. She goes in the future. She does her full bit in the future. She comes back to the past. She immediately is like, I'm home. She runs home. Her mom and her grandfather are there. She gives them a huge hug. And they say, I think you've given us just about the best Christmas present that we could ask for. Seeing you again 90 minutes later. It doesn't get better than this.
I still get excited whenever I get to see you guys, though.
Mm-hmm. Like, best Christmas present ever.
And if you gave us both hugs,
I think that'd be it. That'd be it.
That'd be all we need.
Boy, man. If I had known that, I would have saved some money this past Christmas.
Yeah. Nothing you can do now.
Guys, did we do it?
What the hallmark?
Oh, we are not there yet? What the hallmark?
I think she can only see Shatner. Nobody else can see him. That's fine.
I just want to know what's the deal with the carriage.
What's the deal with the carriage?
What is it? Like, is that how, who is he? Is he Father Christmas? You? Is he like, what are you?
Santa on vacation. He's just chilling with just his
I don't know. I mean,
the rest of the beard comes in like Tim Allen's does in Santa Claus. This little thing stays.
I love it though.
My question does come back to the coffee business. So she is privy to information that my guy's going to open up another coffee shop. And then he's working on a third one. So obviously business can boom wherever they are in the Pacific Northwest. So does she encourage him, hey, like, you can still keep these, you can still grow it here, put somebody in charge of it, and then we'll go take it to Connecticut. Is that where Yale is, Connecticut?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have both coast. We'll grow the business that way. You can have one on the west. You can have them on the east. Or does he completely sell the company and then go from there? But because she is privy to information that he's not privy to.
Yeah.
Yep.
So how does she use that information in regards to the business is something that
maybe she gets tomorrow's newspaper today, you would think.
Mm. Freaking man. What a good idea.
Yeah. I love it.
Great idea. Early edition.
Was ahead of its time.
Was ahead of its time. It's an absolute shame that it was wasted on a newspaper.
Yeah. Oh, man. So much that we could do that.
So much. We did it. Congratulations. We did it. Boys, what are your thoughts on this one? Double Decker of the Week.
My Decker?
It's your Decker.
My Decker?
Yes.
How about your Decker?
Oh, it's mine. It's where we do a deep dive on Double Deckers. People who have signed up for Bringle Gem Plus, who support the show, who say, hey, we love you. Here's some dollars that we will then use and invest in Dogecoin. And you get some bonus content. You get to be a part of a Facebook group. You get all the shows completely ad-free. And you get the satisfaction of knowing that you're loved by us. Panda does a deep dive as well each and every week on one of the Double Deckers. Who do we have today, Dan?
I don't know if I've ever heard of this guy or not. His name's Brian Harold?
Brian Harold.
Brion Harold?
Oh, Brian Harold.
Brion, I think.
Brion? Brion?
Maybe Brion.
Well, I think early Googles tell me that it's Brian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did the little click the button where it pronounces it for
you. And it said Brian.
Well, I'll play it for you.
Wow.
All right. Brian.
Now, what part of that bit required you to close this right
here?
Well,
that was I think you understand. It's the tech voice there.
But did you type in there's an umlaut, right? Something above the one of the above the A? Dan?
Yeah. Something above the A. There's a little
umlaut, a little
umlaut?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you think it's Brian?
I think it's Brian.
Brian.
There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now it makes sense.
Brian, listen, he's a good dude. Told me he's starting a new company, and I'm pretty excited. It's called You Need to Sleep.
Okay, great. So he told you this personally?
He told me this personally. This he called great. Me on the phone. We've been texting back and forth, and he calls me on the phone from time to time just to check in with the wife, the kids,
everything.
You text
with all the Double Deckers?
No, just Brian.
Oh, interesting. Brian. Wow.
He's a good dude. You always want Brian on your side.
Brian.
So you need to sleep.
You need to sleep. And what he does is, and it's a little bit of a play on words, Dan.
What?
You, E-W-E, you need to sleep. He brings sheep over to your house so that you can count them.
Okay, I love that.
Okay.
This is great.
How does that work? Where does he get this? Where do they stay in your house?
Yeah, you can either do it out in the yard if you want to like peer out into your yard while you're doing it, or he'll bring them into your house. You could get up to 5,000 sheep.
Okay. Well, okay. So whenever I think about counting sheep, I think of like the sheep jumping over.
Yeah, he's yes. trained them.
So they jump over your body.
Sheep. Yes, they're jumping sheep. I should have led
phenomenal.
With that.
Because that's great.
It's yeah. amazing.
So you said you can have up to 5,000 sheep.
Yep.
Then he
starts over again.
Okay, let's just say all
what do you
in
mean he starts over again.
Why would
he
you need
them
back
to?
Around?
If you have not fallen asleep after 5,000 sheep, it's a lost sheep. Cost. What? How much is this call? Like, what's the price structure? I imagine you pay by the sheep.
Yeah. You pay per sheep. You know.
But if you can just start over, why not just do one? He's a jump and run around jump.
He's a savvy businessman. It's not that you've got to pay per sheep up to 5,000. Then he runs out of sheep.
He's savvy. He has.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if it's per sheep, I can. Just pay for one sheep
and have him keep going around.
But he won't repeat it unless you buy 5,000.
When you
got to pay per sheep,
how does
and then at the 5,000, then he can repeat.
But he can
it.
Only basically do one house per night. He
at
doesn't
that point,
like.
Yes.
Or is well, he if you're, there if you, for all of them?
If you fall asleep early, he calls and he's like, "Hey, do you need me to come on over?" He's connecting. He's a well connected guy.
How does he have access to 5,000 sheep at any moment's notice?
Brian's also a part time sheep herder.
A part time sheep herder with 5,000 sheep.
Yeah, 5,000.
So he owns them all.
Yeah, he owns all of them.
Wow. If he's a part time sheep herder and his other
we
part-time-
call those shepherds. I think, but I could be wrong.
If he's a part-time shepherd and his other part-time
shepherder.
Job also...
Sheepherder. Maybe we should say shepherd.
It also involves... But the other part-time job also involves getting sheep from the farm to the house.
Yeah.
Is that not also shepherding?
He was...
He's a full-time shepherd.
It sounds like he's a full-time...
also trains them to jump.
I guess you could look at it
but
that way.
I have one more question.
Sure,
this
sure.
is my last one. If he has to shepherd during the day, mm-hmm. you got to get up and get those sheep moving.
Yeah.
And he does this during the night.
Oh, gosh.
When does he sleep?
When does he sleep?
He takes the afternoon off, as you would.
Yeah.
It's a new show we're starting.
Take the day, take the noon.
Take the noon off. And that's where he gets his rest. He gets his rest.
Okay.
Don't you worry. Brian, I text him from time to time, just check in. I go, "You sleeping well, buddy?" He goes, and sometimes he'll say, "I've had a bad night's sleep."
Yeah. All right, we're going to be back on Monday. Oh, no, it's a week off, everybody.
Vacation,
we're
going to
be off for a week. Please don't unsubscribe.
Please
Nothing's
don't.
Wrong.
Yes.
We're just taking the week off. Okay?
We'll be back before
we'll be
you know
back,
it.
And we can't wait for that. And until then, may we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. It's produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.